Hello, entrepreneurs, dreamers, business owners, and happy people with high hopes. Welcome to Cash Flows with your host, Cash Matthews.
All right, good afternoon. Welcome to the show called Cash Flows, where we talk about important things that matter to you. My name's Cash Matthews, and I'm your host through this journey where we do a thing called seeking the good life. And, you know, often that can come in business or health or entrepreneurship or family and so many different ways that you might want to make an improvement. But life's a little difficult, you know, to get traction. And, you know, we have a philosophy of ready. No, that's not our philosophy. That's somebody else's philosophy. We are fire, aim, ready.
There it is.
There we go. We got it right. Hey, we fall for those tricks as well. It's about taking action, immediate action, not perfect action, just moving forward in this game of life. So our philosophy is fire, aim, ready, and we're glad you're here. And what we're ready to do is introduce our executive producer, Mr. Kenneth Bauckham. Kenneth, hello.
Hey, how's it going, Cash?
You know, I'm having a good day.
Hey, I have been too.
You know, this has been a good one for me. We've got a friend of mine, and we'll introduce him in a moment, but, you know, he and I share a common history.
Oh.
And then we were bicycle idiots and raced BMX bicycles.
Oh, okay.
But we're not going to make this into a BMX show, but we'll come back to Dr. Michael Scott here in a minute. But what are we talking about here today?
Oh, well, today, so Cash, I'm glad you asked. I know there's a lot of people that are super curious what our daily
Miss Bites
is going to be about today. So yeah. I thought maybe we could
Miss Bites
could just get ready for that. I know we've talked a lot about, let's see, what is this, episode number 98. We're rocketing right through, and I know we've heard some about time blocking from people.
Right.
But there's something different that you like to talk about. What do you call it? Brain blocking?
Brain blocking.
What is that?
One of my favorite things to do. Well, here's the easiest way to illustrate it. A year ago, I opened a folder, just a regular file folder. I opened it outward and I pinned it to my wall. And the landlord was not that happy with that. She said, "You're making my wall into Swiss cheese." And I went, "Really? I love Swiss cheese. That is awesome.
Give me more."
Yeah, she didn't have that same sensibility. But I wrote one word on it, which was podcast.
Okay.
I wanted to start a podcast. And then I just started asking people questions and I wrote down everything I know. And as I had a thought or a question or a reality, I wrote it on the folder that's sitting right up on my wall looking straight at me, and I call that brain boxing. And any great idea is worth starting, and it's a way you can start your idea without having to fully commit to it, without having to tell the world, without embarrassing yourself in front of your spouse again about all these things I'm fixing to do. You can just leave them up on your wall and write on them. So a little over a year ago, I wrote the Cash Flows Brain Box, which is really just a folder that is visible to you where you can write down an idea and then work on the idea without having to come to a conclusion. Many of the things I've done in my life came as a result of brain boxing. And I like to, you know, right now on my wall, and I've actually taken them all down as we revamp for 24, but I have five major thought processes going on right now, and you can't think about five things at a time. So I have five file folders up on my wall. I actually had six, and one was this idea for a book. The book launched last May or June, a book called Suddenly Single. I wrote down the word suddenly single, a book for people who've suffered some kind of loss. And that took me about a year to get out into the marketplace. It's out in the marketplace. I took it down. I did it. You know, and anything that you accomplish, big, little, small, 80%, but once you accomplish something, you'll feel so much better about attempting the next thing that you do. You won't just go put it off. And, you know, too many people think they aren't something. That's their major, you know, that's kind of their director of their destiny, not what they are, but what they think they aren't. And when you have these little successes, I'm a big believer. Set some goals that you can accomplish. When I do financial planning, if people are in debt, man, we take the smallest debt that we can find and we wage war on that $289, you know, Old Navy bill or something. Not that you owe money to the government. There's a store called Old Navy.
Right.
And I like to start small. I like to have accomplishments. My best friend is the yellow highlighter. Or when you've got something written down that you don't want in your life, but you have to focus on it, you can just run that yellow marker through it. If you could imagine running that yellow marker through some things in your life, man, accomplishment feels good. I bet it feels like when your business opens. So we're going to talk about that. Does that make a good explanation?
Yeah, no, I like it.
Write down some ideas and go for it. Because if you don't go for it, you'll have to forego it. And that ain't that great.
Yep.
You know, give it a shot. Try something. Or as my dad used to say, don't just do something, sit there. And it took me a while to realize how funny that was. Anyway, we have in the office today Dr. Michael Scott. He is the founder of Oklahoma Pulmonary Care. You can find him on www.pulmonarycare.com. Is that the right? You can say it.
OKPulmonaryCare.com.
OKPulmonaryCare.com. I don't know why I wrote that down incorrectly. Let's repeat that. OKPulmonaryCare.com. You can find Dr. Michael Scott. And I'd like to introduce Michael to the show. Glad you're here.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Man, this is awesome. You're the first BMX guy that we've had you know, on the show other than myself. And nobody wants to hear about me. But, you know, it's great to see people grow up in the same, you know, arena that you did. And you and your brother, do you want to talk about him a little bit? Can he have part of your show?
Yeah, he can have part of my show.
Yeah, Adam Scott, Grand National winner. One of the best BMX riders ever in the whole history of the sport.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, and he's a great brother. Yeah, he's one of those dudes that you meet him and like, yeah, okay, things are good in the world. Well, let's now you and I met at the Bong Group. I think we did a grand opening with you.
Yes,
how long ago was that? Do you recall?
That was in February.
That was February 23?
Yeah.
Okay. My brain is fuzzy right now after doing podcasts with Kenna. So how'd the grand opening go for you?
It went great.
Yeah. I mean, there was a
ribbon cutting.
A lot of people there.
People from Long
Come. Yeah.
People from the community and Broken Arrow, Chamber of Commerce, and it was great.
Okay. So I know there's a lot of work that went into that, and we're going to get to that. But, you know, we like to talk about, you know, the Bong Group and the role that it's had in the community. And obviously we've had a great relation with you and, you know, everybody's proud of you. And for the record, we don't do that many grand openings. We get asked a lot, but you know, and we didn't even really get to spend as much time with yours, but everybody came together, mostly you and your staff, and put on a great grand opening. So if we haven't said it in public, congratulations.
Thank you.
So we're going on a year.
Yeah.
Oh man. How's the first year been?
Up and down.
Yeah.
But it's been good.
Well, that's part of the deal.
Yeah, it is.
So let's go back and talk about young Michael Scott. Find out, you know, did you want to be a doctor?
I did.
That was always the thing for you.
Ever since age 7, kind of when they asked me, that's what I wanted to be. And the reason was
so cool.
Being around my great-grandmother when she went through a stroke and got to see the compassion the doctor had in a small town of Hollis, Oklahoma, got to see what it was truly like to be, you know, a physician and compassionate and caring. And the way that physician interacted with me had a longstanding impact on my life and my career and goals.
Yeah. So somebody took good care of your grandmother.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's one of the things missing in many professions is compassion.
Correct.
You know, they're not just customers and they're not just clients. And that's something you've clearly adopted in your program.
Yes, for sure.
So cool. So your work history, did you work in the large hospital world for a while?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's hear about your history and what led you up to this moment to open up OK Pulmonary Care.
So I grew up in Mustang, graduated high school there, went to OU for undergraduate in biochemistry. Did 1 year in public health work at OU Health Science Center downtown. And then all throughout this, I was working and waiting tables and bartending and doing odds and ends to help out financially.
Right.
Then went to med school at Oklahoma State here in Tulsa. Graduated in 2010. And then that took me to internal medicine at University of Louisville. I was there from 2010 to 2013. Wow. My chief residency year there, and then I moved to Chicago and did pulmonary and critical care fellowship at Northwestern.
Are you a football fan?
I am.
Okay. Right now, everybody around the country watching this is asking, you went to OU, and undergrad and OSU for postgrad. Like, who do you root for?
Got to stick to my alma mater. OU number one, but OSU a close second.
Yeah, I went to OU for a while. I went there instead of OSU because it was easier to spell.
Yeah.
But I graduated from Central State over there. But yeah, that was a curiosity. So you're in the traditional medical system, and how long total were you in the larger medical system?
Well, throughout the training was 7 years, and then I left there, went to St. Francis for 5.5 years before now starting my own practice.
So you got a major investment into the health community in this area.
Correct.
Yeah. So walk us back through that moment where you're going, you know, I think there's a better way to do it.
Yeah.
And what was going on through your brain? Because I think those are the great questions that people want to hear from somebody who went, hey, I'm going to do my own thing. And that's what's inspiring. What's going on in your brain at that time?
Yeah, it's definitely scary, just putting yourself out there and thinking about starting something new. Obviously, we don't get a lot of business training and teaching throughout our medical career.
Yeah.
So that was stuff I knew was going to be a learning point every day.
Right.
But I knew I wanted to start something my own, open up my flexibility, and actually be able to kind of carve out a practice that I was able to – be proud of and give patients the time and compassion they need, and also be able to have a role in the community.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it seems like there's less doctors today, and I don't know any statistics on it, but it's one of the things I worry about because the healthcare system in America, and I think it's among the best in the world, but it's had some challenges. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my clients who were doctors are now insurance agents and realtors because they just couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, there's been a lot of career changes. Like you said, there's a lot of shortages nationwide, worldwide for primary care all the way to every specialist. That definitely is going to be a challenge as we go forward these next 10 or 20 years for sure.
Yeah, I think we're in this proving ground where there's a lot more to do than there was 15 years ago.
Correct.
So what exactly does a pulmonary and critical care doctor do? And I know the basic definition, but because I've been to your office, and what does a doctor like you do?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Pulmonary, some people do get that confused. A lot of times they'll think it may be the heart, but it's actually the lungs.
It's actually the lungs, yeah.
So pulmonary, so you're a pulmonologist, so you're specializing in lung conditions such as asthma, COPD, pulmonary fibrosis, lung cancer, things like that. So I'm able to take care of, be an expert in those fields. And then also with the critical care aspect, what you may see on TV, they call an intensivist. And so that's somebody that runs the ICU and basically manages the patient in the ICU from head to toe.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Got it. So those patients you manage in the ICU, though, they have pulmonary issues.
Some of them might. Some of them, because we're trained in internal medicine first. So
Okay.
We're exposed to, all the – basically every organ kind of head to toe with that. And then the critical care aspects, we're able to manage those aspects such as, kidney failure, heart failure, arrhythmias, things like that, being on a ventilator, all that we're able to manage at a high level.
So we've heard, and I don't know if it's called hell week or hell decade or whatever it is, but when you come into the medical field, there are moments or periods of life where you're not getting any sleep.
Correct.
What is that period called?
You'd probably call it Hell Week, okay. but Hell Month, you know, when you're, it's changed some. They've, as everything in the society, they've kind of backed off and softened it somewhat. Definitely, you know, was some rough periods of every 4 days doing 30-hour call,
right.
Things like that. So
now you're good.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to ask you that question just because I could, and it's, you know, the people that I knew had a roommate went into medicine, and I'm hearing these stories as early 80s.
Yeah.
It's very different, I guess, than what it is today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was like, man, why do you want to do that? And you know, he's the same as you. He wants to help people.
Yeah.
So let's talk about quality of care, because you said something that I grabbed onto, and that was you get to spend more time, and you said it in a way, I get to.
Yeah.
So that means you've chosen to apply a level of care to anybody that you're in front of that's a little bit different. I mean, you're spending more time?
Correct.
What does modern medicine, you know, say about that?
It's tough because, you know, that is the way the big corporate systems want you to, you know, see a patient every 15 minutes, and, you know, they're forcing you to see these patients, and it's in and out, and you're not being able to dive into their conditions, and you're not being able to make them feel heard and,
right.
and truly listen to the patient.
Right. Because they have some of the data.
Yes.
You know, that's not all, you can't decipher all of that with a machine.
Correct.
And so what's a normal visit now at your place?
As far as time wise?
Yeah, yeah. How much time are they able to get?
I try to do at least 40 minutes for a new, new consult, and at least 20 for a follow up.
Right.
But I really try to, you know, if they need the time, give it, you know, maybe shorter than that 20, you know, but then next time they come in, they may need 35.
Right.
So I'm really, you know, just in tune with how the patient's doing, listening to them and trying to address everything I can at that point in time.
Okay.
I know a lot of, you know, I'm a specialist, but I know a lot of patients go see primary care doctors and they say, you know, we can address one problem.
Yeah.
So come in, you say, you got one problem. What's that one problem? And that rubs a lot of people the wrong way, and understandably so.
Is that a supply issue? I mean, supply of doctors and doctor time?
Yeah. Yeah, that is some of it. And then it's some of these places saying, you know, you have to see, you know, so many patients to kind of meet your bottom line. And so if you're working for these larger corporations, they are kind of forcing you to see that many patients per day to kind of meet your quote unquote quota.
Well, let's talk about those patients. How would they describe you?
I think patients would describe me as being a great listener, compassionate, kind, and hardworking, truthful with them, tell them what I know and sometimes what I don't know, that I'm going to try to get to the answer as best as I can. And also, multiple patients just comment on my bedside manner.
Yeah.
I have kind of that old school, just kind of create that inner peace and just give them, you know, empathy and compassion.
You know, I got, my father passed away a few months ago,
three months ago.
Well, he lived his full life, man. He lived it to the max. And, you know, 2 days before having a massive stroke, he's out on his land driving a tractor, herding cows.
Gotcha.
And, we talked about it. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, hey, anytime, you know, nope, not too many people living to be, you know, 90, 100. But, you know, anyway, but I had an opportunity to talk with, and this renewed my faith in medicine. And I got to sit down with a young brain surgeon. He had a big stroke of some sort. And we haven't even engaged him at this point, but he came out and sat with our family for 2 hours explaining how the surgery might work. And we were like, you don't have to do all this. And he's like, I want to, because you have to make some decisions tonight that affect everything. And I want you to know what the odds are.
Yeah.
And man, I was wonderfully impressed with this young guy. And then we all wrapped up and left and came back, and he was still in my dad's room. And that was about 6 p.m. He had gotten off that day at noon. And I was like, okay, man, I mean, I don't know. I began to feel, you know, I kind of had the warm and fuzzies about the medical community after that. And,
yeah, that's great.
You know, he was the guy that shepherded my dad to his last moment on earth. And you always wonder who's going to do that. Well, it was a kind doctor who has three kids that was supposed to be gone by 12 or 1 and stayed with him through the evening when he passed.
That's great.
So, yeah, I just encouraged me. And I bet you're that same kind of guy. This is a hard question. Do they teach you how to have a conversation with somebody who's at the end of the road? I've always wondered that. I've never had a chance to ask, and thank you for being open to answer it.
Yeah. No, they do. I would say a lot of people do it better than others. They do a quick, you know, I would say you do a little simulations on breaking bad news, and I feel like a lot of people shy away from that topic, and I feel like definitely even within groups I've been in, there are certain select ones that are better at having those kind of hard conversations than others.
Yeah, we met a lady she was one of the hospice nurses who was about to take my dad's case.
Yeah.
And we were at St. Anthony's in Oklahoma City, and that's a big place. And she said, let me walk you down to where the parking lot is. And she was so sweet, but she said, Cash, your dad is not going to make it. Okay, I'm going to be clear with you. I don't know what hopes you have. I know you've had a great life with him, but this is his last moment.
Yeah.
And you need to prepare for that. And she was so sweet. That was another person. I was like, good grief, man. Are these people trained in this? Do they go to acting school? And she's like, she goes, I hate doing it, but it's the most beautiful thing in the world. Because I talked to her for a few more minutes. So I don't even know who that was, but man, I'm so thankful. You know what we're going to do here real quick? We're going to take a quick studio break and say thank you to one of our sponsors. Kenneth, who do we have?
This episode is sponsored by MFP, My Financial Plan. With My Financial Plan, keep everything you own in one secure, accessible place. See everything you own and know what everything is worth. Benefits include a personal financial website with daily balances and budgeting tools. It's accessible anytime, and you can get it for yourself at joinmfp.com.
All right. Thank you, Kenneth. One of our favorite advertisers, joinmfp.com. We are here today with Dr. Michael Scott. He is the founder of OKPulmonaryCare.com is where you can find him, Oklahoma Pulmonary Care. And he's also a friend of mine from the world of BMX racing. I think you actually attended the very first kind of rogue race that we put on out at the stadium.
I did. Yeah. It was unexpected. My brother and my dad mentioned to go out there and brought my kids and thought I was just going to watch and ended up
on a bike. What was that like for you?
It was good.
Yeah.
It was fun.
How much did you ride back in the day?
Oh, I used to ride a lot before I got hurt, and then kind of shut it down when I was about 16. So,
but you were there.
Yep.
And you watched it. Adam's your little brother.
Older brother.
Oh, Adam's older
than
you. Okay.
He's older.
I did not know that. I just had it in my brain because I don't know. We just make it. So what we're talking about, this world of medical care. And we've talked about pulmonary care and, you know, and the quality of care that you're giving people, which is sounds beyond what the traditional, and that's what led you to go from working for the big places down to opening your own place last February. What's the hardest part of your business?
I'd say the hardest part is probably the paperwork.
Oh,
unfortunately. Yeah. Just the documentation. I don't think a lot of people, especially patients, realize how much on the back end we have to do as far as the documentation, as far as submitting prior authorizations.
And that's insurance type work.
Insurance type work, getting approvals for medications that we have to kind of jump through hoops. So it can be frustrating. It's a daunting task, but it's got to be done.
Yeah, for sure.
But trying to get patients the inhaler they need, having to jump through those hoops with their insurance companies to get what they need.
So there are lots of misconceptions about doctors. I think we owe that to TV shows.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us some misconceptions. And if you have a favorite doctor TV show, I would love to hear that.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of misconceptions. I think some of it having to do with, you know, having a lavish lifestyle and things like this.
Oh, right.
And having guaranteed income. I think, you know, that a lot of people don't realize how much student loans we take on.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the tune to, you know, $200,000 to $400,000 in debt just for medical school. So there's a lot of delayed gratification. And, you know, when you're working for yourself, you know, it's not guaranteed. You know, you're billing these insurances.
It's on you.
And there's months of, you know, kind of backlog to get reimbursed by the insurances. So there's a lot of delay there. So it's definitely not.
And they've changed the payouts a great deal from what I can tell.
Correct. Medicaid rates have been cut.
That's unfortunate. Because, you know, your bills haven't been cut.
Correct.
You know, you've got the same inflation that those groups started.
Unfortunately.
That's a tough one to swallow. Okay, favorite
medical show. So probably my favorite medical show. I love House. House is a good one. Got a little weird at the end, but it was a great show. Scrubs is hilarious, but I'd say House is probably my favorite.
Okay, so House, one of mine as well. I was just watching an episode last week. How close is that?
It's pretty accurate. I would say, you know, as far as their diagnosis, their differential diagnosis and their workups,
right?
It's probably one of the spot on as far as actually, you know, getting into the true medicine. So I think there was definitely stuff I would see on that. And then later on in medical school, I'd have a question on my test that week. So,
Hey, Michael, where'd you get the answer to that
Dr.
question?
House.
Channel 9. Very cool. So is there some advice that you would give to a new person thinking about a career in medicine? If somebody came to you and said, hey, Dr. Scott, what do I do here?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say definitely, you know, don't be discouraged. Sometimes you're going to meet some failures along the way. I would say if you get to that point where you're starting your own practice, one thing that I would recommend is try not to overhire in the beginning and really try to work with a skeleton crew as you can until your volume kind of gets up to kind of help not have too much overhead. And I think it's easy to overhire and things like that. So that'd be something I'd really would consider. I think as far as medicine in general, I think it's a great career. There's a lot of people.
It's still a good career.
Still a good career. You know, there are a lot of people that are, you know, saying negative things about it, you know, at this time, but I still think it's a great career. You know, if you go into it for the right reason, you go into it to help people.
Yeah.
It's a great career and you'll do well. You won't be rich, but you'll do well.
Well, it's fulfilling on a very different level.
Correct. I mean, I did not go into it for the money by any means. And I'm so glad I didn't. I love it and wouldn't change it for anything.
So, but you still work a lot.
I work a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're open 5 days, 6 days?
5 days a week and go work at hospitals and stuff as well and some weekends here and there.
What do you do on your weekends off? Tell us about your family.
Yeah, I try to hang out with my kids. I got an 8-year-old Grant and an 11-year-old Bailey, and then hang out with my living girlfriend for almost 6 years, Jody.
Okay.
Hang out with their older kids, Taylor and Tanner, and just have a great time. Try to hang out and do things, be active, watch movies, play.
BMX race? Not yet.
My son's talked about it, but we need to get him out there. My daughter, I don't think she would ever go for that.
Yeah. Well, he needs to go see Uncle Adam ride a little
bit. Yeah. He's watched him. He says he wants to do it. We'll see.
You know, still the greatest BMX race I have ever seen. I've been around BMX since I was 11 years old before it was even a sport. So for 51 years, I've been in it, watching it, doing it. And his win at the Grands a couple years ago was just one of the greatest victories in the entire sport. And I was with a whole group of dudes that there might have been some man tears in that.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we were just out of our brain watching that. That was pretty cool. Well, so let's get a few business ideas here. When is your best time of the day to get work done?
Either really early in the morning or late at night, usually just trying to avoid those distractions. Probably early in the morning, 4 or 5 in the morning.
Right.
It's probably when I get the most stuff done.
You're an early riser.
Yeah.
And that contributes to your success because by 9 a.m. you've done more, you know, the world is just waking up.
Correct.
All right. So an early, I think that's a clue. You know, successful people get up early. And I get up around 5 and try to get as much done before 9 as I possibly can. And, man, that has made a world of difference. So what there are other people that do what you do. What's the separation between you? And not to be competitive in a I got to win sort of way, but what separates you from the other people who do what you do?
Yeah. I think just the business, Oklahoma Pulmonary Care, just giving a patient full comprehensive pulmonary care from head to toe. We're giving people the compassion, the empathy, the time, and also, you know, the dedication that we're going to, you know, find your diagnosis, treat you accordingly, and help you along the way. I think that being a comprehensive care, being able to do full pulmonary function tests within our office, x-rays, labs, procedures such as draining a lung or an abdomen or putting in a chest tube or something like that, I'm all able to do that within the office.
Wow, so you're a one-stop shop.
Correct.
Okay, and they're not having to go multiple places to get an x-ray or
No, I can do multiple cool. things there with under one roof.
So has the technology changed in the last 10 years to benefit you as a doctor?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, the imaging is much better. I mean, x-ray hasn't changed too much, just right. They're – you know, nicer, but the quality of the CTs, the quality of the MRIs, there's a lot of incidental little spots or nodules that are found on lungs that we would have never found before.
Oh, right.
Sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes, you know, it's something we got to pursue that, you know, we didn't mean to find it. We have to do procedures to eliminate it.
But jump in on it.
But ultrasound has been huge. Doing ultrasound guided procedures and ultrasounding, you know, fluid pockets and things like that.
Okay.
And I do that within the office as well.
So that has to save time and money for everybody. I mean, so you do all your labs and stuff there as well?
Yeah,
we do. Oh, that's so, super cool.
Yep.
Yeah, I hate it when they send me to one place to get a lab and one place to get an x-ray. And I had to, can we talk colonoscopies for a second?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had my first one 6 weeks ago.
Gotcha.
And it was awesome. I was afraid of it, but, you know, they said going in, hey, I had a positive colon cancer thing.
Okay.
And that's not a great thing to carry around for 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
But I did. I was like, hey, something's going to get you. I wasn't too worried about it. And, but they were so great. They were gracious to me. They were wonderful. And the doctor was nice and, you know, they treated me well. And I enjoy being treated well, whether I'm at the grocery store or having a colonoscopy.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that as a joke. It may sound funny, but, you know, and then they found, you know, I'm worried about having an issue. And when I woke up, the actual doctor was still there. That's an oddity. And I went, ooh, the actual doctor is still here. This could go two ways. And she said, hey, I just want to tell you, we thought you would have polyps at your age, especially with, you know, something showed up in your scan, but you have nothing. And like, I may have heard it wrong, but I think she said, that's one of the most impressive colons I've ever seen. I think she said that. I'm going to go back.
I'm sure it was close.
I'm going to go listen to the transcript. But honestly, I walked out of that. It's another time I felt good about, you know, just the medical industry. Yeah. They treated me so well.
That's great.
And they give you those cool little slip and fall socks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a few pairs of those.
Grippy socks. Yellow or blue ones?
I have yellow.
Gotcha.
And I have some brown ones or tan or whatever. So how can a patient get in to see you?
You can get in by calling us at 918-294-3278. You can also book online on our website through www.okpulmonarycare.com.
Okay.
Best way is if you can get a referral, just so we have one on file.
Right.
If you have a, you know, HMO, we definitely need a referral. Other ones, we may be able to do it without it, but a lot of times it's easier if you can have your primary care just to fax in a referral. We'll get you in as quick as we can.
So how long does it normally take for a patient to get in to see you guys?
I'm getting people in usually within a week right now, which is which is unheard of for a specialist, and we are busy, definitely picking up steam. But I make that a priority to get new patients in, to get them addressed quickly. So a lot of other practices around this area can be as high as 3 to 6 wow. month wait list.
Yeah, I know I had my first diagnosis that said, hey, we have to check out something. That was September 1st. And they didn't get me in until the very, very end of December.
Gotcha.
And I just assumed that that was normal. Good on you for getting people in within a week. And we're going to come back in a minute and get your business tip here in a sec. But if you could be remembered for just one thing, Dr. Michael Scott, what would that be?
I'd say just to be remembered for being a compassionate, caring person. I think as far as within my business and my life, that's how I want to be remembered, and that's how I feel I live my life daily.
I think those are the next big changes in medicine, not the technology or the medicine, but how we treat each other. And I think that's beautiful. We're with Dr. Michael Scott today, okpulmonarycare.com. Oklahoma Pulmonary Care is the name of the business, and you can talk to Dr. Michael Scott. If you need somebody to take care of you, make sure you have somebody that has compassion and has you at heart rather than, you know, it's people over profits, and I'm pretty sure you do a great job. Michael, what's your business tip today?
I'd say my business tip, just step out there and go for it. I kind of like your philosophy earlier. I was saying, you know, is your cash flows philosophy, fire aim ready.
Yeah.
Definitely fire. Go out there and kind of shoot your shot. And there's going to be a million reasons for you not to do it and excuses for you not to do it. There's never going to be a great time to start a business. If you wait for that great time, it's never going to come. So you're going to have to, you know, get someone in your corner that supports you and step out there and go for it.
You know, that is a great topic. It's never a great time. You can only find out that you had a great time to do something well after the fact.
Correct.
And it's so hard to recognize that you're in this great time. And a very, very good advice from Dr. Michael Scott. We're talking today to Dr. Michael Scott of Oklahoma Pulmonary Care, and you can find him online at okpulmonarycare.com. And we're appreciative that you're here today.
Thanks, Cash.
All right. Kenneth, I think we have a wrap here.
All right.
Not the musical kind, but I think we have come to a reasonable conclusion with Dr. Right. Michael.
The other wrap.
The other kind of wrap. All right. Like wrap it up. Or spinach wrap.
That sounded like you were about to start wrapping just like right then.
Yeah, I'm not much on the wrapping. But anyway, that's a wrap for today's show. And we're thankful for our guest, Michael Scott, who's come in to visit with us about pulmonary care and what he's got going on in the medical world. Treat people well. That's their philosophy. And they lead with that in everything that they do. We hope that these people coming in benefit you. And, you know, just one little nugget at a time. We build wisdom, we build relationship, and we build community. So for today, let's be nice to each other. You know, let's treat our families well. Let's do the right thing at every turn. And more importantly, today, how about we forgive somebody who absolutely does not deserve it? You know, forgiveness is not about that other person. It's about you. And it's about you letting go of something that's been haunting you for some amount of time. You know, there's a big difference in fault and responsibility. And yeah, it's probably somebody else's fault, but it's your responsibility to deal with it and move past it and get on and live the good life with your family and with your friends. So to our friends who are out there listening, to our sponsors, to all of our previous guests, we say thank you. And this show is Cash Flows. And always remember, this show is about you.
That's our show for today. Stay tuned for another riveting edition of Cash Flows.